You are now tuned in to Vibin' in the D with Lili. So great to have your ears listening. If you'd like to reach me on social media, you can reach me at V-I-B-I-N-I-N-T-H-E-D on Instagram. And please like the Facebook page, Vibin' in the D with Lili. For advertising, questions, off-topic suggestions, and if you're a local artist that would like your original music featured on this podcast, please email me at vibinginthed@gmail.com. I cannot wait to see who is the next one to be with Lili.
What's up, Detroit? I am talking to, now, I don't want to say your last name wrong. Is it Delaney?
Delaney,
okay.
It's actually my middle name.
Is it? Okay. Oh, so I went into TikTok mode. Kristen Delaney, that is your name on your album, Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I actually, I was looking at somebody's Instagram, right? And I think what song, I'm trying to remember. It might have been Soon or something, because I love that song, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Like, I will play the crap out of that song, like, seriously. I can't remember. It was on Instagram. I follow a lot of different artists, and it may have been you were on a show or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I started checking out your music from there, and I'm like, wow, she's really, really dope.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So what all do you do? I know you sing, but do you write? Do you act? What else do you do?
So I sing. I do write. Produce, but I haven't been on the production side as much as I was when I did my first album. But it is something that I have the ability to do. I dabble with the guitar and the piano, and I play the saxophone.
Nice.
And I won't say I act. I have aspirations to act at some point. But that's not, you know, it's not a focus right now. I would prefer to continue to focus on music and then let God open other doors as he wills.
Okay. Awesome. So I see you've worked with a couple of people. I know you have a song with Ellie San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like doing that song? And that's called Let's Get Lost, by the way.
I actually have two songs with Ellie. We did Let's Get Lost together, and then she did a song on my first album called Live It. She does a rap. She does a verse two on that song, and Ellie is just cool people. I don't remember how I met her, but I've known her for quite some time now. And if ever I'm like, I need a dope female rapper to collaborate with something, she'll be the person that I will call because I love her spirit. She is a beautiful person. And it was cool working with her. She's super friendly, super easy to, you know, work with. So, you know, I look forward to her and I definitely collaborating together on upcoming stuff.
That's awesome. You know, she is a really dope person. And she's very conscious. I like her style of rap and the things that she raps about.
Absolutely. She is a breath of fresh air when you think about what the media pushes as far as female rappers go.
Right. That is very true. So how long have you been doing this thing, this music thing?
That's a loaded question because I've been singing since I was a little girl.
Okay.
And like a lot of people, I started off singing in church. My dad was a pastor, so of course you got a daughter that sings. You want her to sing like every Sunday.
Right.
So I started singing in church, but and I remember me and my cousin Jesse. I forgot about this, and it randomly came back a couple years ago. And I was just thinking about the different things that I've done in music. Like we used to write songs together, and we tried to do a group. I don't know what happened with it, but that seed was there, like, back when we were 8 or 9 years old, thinking we were going to be, like, the next TLC or next to Brat. Like, we were into music then, and then I don't – somewhere it got lost, and my focus became basketball, and then I kind of just found my way back to it when I started college, and then I got back into writing. So I was really, I would say it started for me seriously in like 2009 of where I actually started writing again, and really getting back into music, just finding random beats on the internet and just writing whatever hit me. And that's kind of been, that's where the journey started when I was at school at Eastern.
Awesome. Eastern. All right, then. And what was your major in, when you were in college?
When I was at Eastern, it was business administration, and I focused on human resources.
Okay. Okay. And that's what you do now?
Nope. It's not what I do now. Right now, in the daytime, I work in financial aid at Wayne State, and that's where I got my master's at Wayne State in communication and organizational communication and public relations. So,
awesome.
That's my job that pays the bills and pays for music until music pays for itself.
I heard that. That's what's up. So you sent me a couple of tracks. One is Flowers and the other is Mary. Tell me about those, how they became what they are.
So both Flowers and Mary are off of my EP that I released last September. Mm-hmm. And Mary was the first song that I wrote on that album, and I actually had a co-writer. His name is Michigan May. He's dropping an album soon, so if you know, I definitely check him out when his music drops. He's a super dope artist, really great writer. Mm-hmm. And he helped me write this song. So I had a concept in mind of what I wanted to talk about, and then just in our conversation, along Hillman and Kev Stout, Keith Benford, who's also my manager, we kind of just sat down and made what. Pretty much put what I was telling them into words that fit the music. Mm-hmm. And just talking about relationships at that time that we were writing, that's where I was in my life, where it was, you know, pretty much dealing with a breakup of something with someone that I thought, you know, was going to be long term, could potentially be that person that I spent forever with, and that's not what happened. And with Mary, it was just like the constant, you know, I'm tired of going in circles. I'm tired of the games. I'm tired of us not being on the same page. And at this point, I can't continue to go around in this merry-go-round. And, you know, I hope you're good, but I'm going to make sure I'm good. So that's where Mary came from. And Flowers kind of stems from the same type of, in the same vein. It's just in relationships, I think we put a lot of energy into the wrong places when with the other person, and a lot of times people just want love, they want time, and Flowers kind of represents the little things that we don't do in relationships that completely that make the entire relationship crumble. And I remember right when I started writing Flowers, I'm listening to the beat, you know, I was drinking a little wine, and I came up with the hook. I'm like, oh, this is kind of dope. And then I wrote the first verse. I'm like, okay, this is like, it was a very honest moment of how I felt about that relationship. And then Maine just kind of came in and helped, you know, bring it all together. And I think Flowers is probably one of my favorite. They're all my favorite, but Flowers is like that one that I jam to consistently because I love the guitar. I love the music, the lyrics, the harmonies. Quinn did an amazing job mixing that song and helping with the vocal arrangement. So it was just, yeah, those are those two songs on the album.
Okay. That's what's up. So we're going to listen to Flowers, and then I'll play Mary a little later down the line.
You act like I ask you for the green light on the small things I deserve, and it hurts 'cause I thought that I knew. difficult to affirm me with your touch? Was it so difficult for you to just love? It must have been difficult.
This is Irene with CBiz Media inviting you to watch us on Comcast 20 in Detroit on Saturdays from 10 to noon. Submit your own videos and be a part of the show as well. Check us out on YouTube at CBiz Media. And if you like more details on being a part of the show, just send me a text at 313-681-1521. That's 313-681-1521, or email me at cbiztv@yahoo.com. Join the show.
So are you from Detroit?
I am not from Detroit. I'm from Michigan. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Inkster, mm-hmm. and then my parents moved us to Farmington Hills when I started middle school.
Okay.
But although I'm not from Detroit, my family is from Detroit. My parents mm-hmm. grew up in Detroit. My dad taught school for, 30-some-odd years in Detroit. So
wow.
Our church was in Detroit. So I've spent, I feel like I'm from Detroit because I'm so connected with the city and just being there. My grandmother's house is in Detroit. My aunts and everybody lived there. So we were always in Detroit. And I actually tried to go to DPS for high school, but my dad was not feeling it. I think with
him
being
like, no way.
Right. He's like, we brought y'all out here to the suburbs. You can get a good education. And him being in working for Detroit Public Schools, it was not about to happen. Although I did ask about that because I wanted to play basketball, mm-hmm. and it just didn't work out that way.
Man, yeah, most of the schools gone now.
Yeah, they are. I think if we get some really good people in leadership, it can definitely, things can always change. So I'm always optimistic that, there's always something better to come because you know, the kids in school now, that's our future. And if we're not investing in them, what do we expect the world to be in 20, 30 years?
Exactly. That is so true. So as far as Detroit is concerned, what places have you performed your music at?
I did a long stint at Privé. I'm not sure if you remember Privé. It was on Jefferson and right by, they say, and I think the brewery. Is the brewery still there?
I believe
on like Joe Temple.
I haven't been to Privé though.
Yeah, Privé, it's not open anymore, but when I first released my project, we used to be there like almost every one Friday out the month. We did Friday Night Live, and I usually did like a set. So like that's how I started with performing just solo. I've been used to, you know, doing church stuff and doing stuff with groups, but really getting into performing on my own, I was able to really find myself a little bit and cultivate, you know, a little bit of stage presence and getting used to talking to people just from performing at Privé for so long. I've also done the Ribs and R&B Festival a few times, the Paradise Music Festival, both of those at Heart Plaza. What's up, I've been? Dime, of course, we've been to Dime. Elizabeth Theater, which I'm not sure if that's even still open. Where Bucharest Grill and you had Elizabeth Theater. That was one I really like to perform there. It's a nice little intimate spot there. So kind of been here and there as far as Detroit goes. And then outside of that, I've done the Arts, Beats, and Eats, which is super dope to perform at. Open for Brian McKnight at Soundboard a few years ago, too.
Nice.
So, yeah,
did you get to meet him?
I did get to meet him, but, you know, it was very quick. They're very, like, on it as far as time goes. So you were here at this time, there at that time, and you made sure you hit the stage right when they told you to. So it was a very quick meeting, but it was still, like, I'm very blessed to have had that opportunity. That's one of the biggest things that I've done, and looking forward to doing more stuff like that coming up.
That's awesome. Yeah, I heard it's a real quick process. Most of the artists that I know that have opened for somebody was like, you know, you meet them and that's it, you know. So that's cool, though. It's a great opportunity. What was it like performing at the Soundboard for you?
Oh, it was amazing. The only thing I wish I had my band, because when I have my band, something about having that live music behind you is just like, it makes your show 10 times better. At least for me, it makes my show 10 times better than when I'm just using tracks. The good thing about it, I did have tracks, but my band, you know, of course, they made sure my performance tracks were good. And then I also had my dancers with me. And then I had a guitar player with me. So it was a really dope show. I was very nervous at the beginning. I was very nervous. But usually for me, once I get past, like, the first verse of a song, then at that point, it's just like the nerves go out the window and I'm just enjoying being on stage and sharing my music and, you know, letting the people hear, you know, the voice that I have and the music that I've created. It was really, really fun.
That's awesome. That is very awesome. What's another artist you would love to open for, or a couple of them?
Ah, shoot. There's so many people I would love to open for. Anybody that's doing it, R&B, Herb, Brandy, I would love to open for Jasmine Sullivan. Shoot, Beyonce, I don't know how you get to open for her, but any of those artists like that, like I love R&B music, even the crossover, like R&B pop, I love hip-hop. I'm even open for some hip-hop artists, you know, whatever opportunities. I'm very open to opening for different people, and hopefully one day I'll be looking for people from Detroit, you know, discovering new talent so they can open for me, you know, give people that platform.
Now, see, that's what's up. That's awesome right there. So as far as genres of music, I know you like R&B because you do R&B. But what's a song or something that people would be like, what? You like that?
I can't think of a song. I'm really into just music in general. Because when I was younger, my sister, she played the clarinet in her band I was in elementary school still at the time. She was playing in her band at middle school. So that got me into wanting to play an instrument. So my parents got me a saxophone when I got to middle school. And just that in itself, playing in band opens you up to so many different types of music. Depending on the type of band teacher you have, you're just exposed to everything. You know, there's classical music, the symphony music, like jazz. I did jazz band. I just really love music. I love rock music. And then I think being out here in the suburbs a little bit, I got to actually appreciate my love for different types of music without having to hide it. Because I think sometimes when, you know, when you're Black, people have an expectation that you only listen to Black or what you they consider to be Black things.
Right.
And I loved rock music. You gave me some Creed, some Linkin Park, Nickelback, like all that stuff. Like, I'm just into music. Just love good music, stuff with good messages, stuff that has live instrumentation. And of course, gospel music. Like, I had a falling out with gospel music because I felt like the music was lacking a message of the true gospel. But then now when I go back and listen to some of the stuff that I used to love when I was younger, like, that music is phenomenal. And there's still great gospel music being, you know, put out there today. So
right. It's timeless.
Absolutely. Like, I'm looking forward to the verses tonight with Kirk and Fred Hammond.
Yeah, that should be really, really good. That should be great. These verses have been pretty interesting. My favorite to date is Gil Scott and Erykah Badu, though.
Same here. Yeah. Like, I feel like the whole time I was just, like, just vibing the whole time.
I know. It's awesome when a person can hold your attention for that long, because that was a long time. And it wasn't just them playing music. They were talking. They were, you know, showing love to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a great time. Like, we were sitting in on, you know, two friends' conversation, and I really loved it.
Yeah, it's like we got the inside scoop on how they really feel about each other's music. And I didn't know that Jill wrote the song. What was the beginning of the song they played? If you ever call me, what's the name of the song?
I can't remember the name of it, but I know
I think
exactly.
Maybe You Got Me, but I didn't even know that's how Jill got her start.
I didn't know that either. I
so just the history
like,
of it.
I was sitting there like, what? You know, you find out stuff when you, you know, get an opportunity to see something like that. And,
yeah, it was great.
But it was a wonderful vibe. And that's kind of, you know, what got me started doing this. Even before I started the podcast, I was always going to different venues and whatnot and, you know, not discovering artists, but, you know, I was discovering for myself because I didn't know about them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when they have that great vibe, that's what draws me to the artist, you know.
Yeah. I think, it's cool to listen. You know, we can find people on Spotify and all that stuff, but when you actually see somebody perform live, where you get a little inside scoop on who they really are, kind of makes you either like them even more or might completely turn you off.
That's true. That is so true. But I just, you know, and I missed your performance because I think you were on an Elise King show.
Oh, yeah, I was. Yep. That was I was supposed to do another show with her, and then it got canceled because of, you know, the pandemic right now. But I'm definitely hoping that I'm able to do some more stuff with her. She is always working. That's another Detroit artist that I'm like, hey, you do your thing, sis, because.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, she'll put a show together in a minute and have, you know, have everybody having a great time.
Right.
So as far as your song, you know, I like I said, I looked up your information and started listening to, you know, Musically Inclined and your singles, and then I was checking out your latest release, which was Hello. And I said it in the beginning, I'm so serious. Soon, I don't know, it would make me feel empowered or something, or like everything's gonna be okay and I can do it. And, and I used to drive for Lyft and Uber, and I would play Detroit artists all the time, you know, because I wanted you guys to be known, because it's a lot of you that are not known, or people, you know, we're so used to mainstream music that we forget about the local artists. So that was my thing. I had a playlist. I had you all, you know, playing on the playlist, and it was so funny. Every time Soon came on, every single time, whoever was, man, woman, they would be like, "Who is this?"
Oh, really? That's what's up.
And I'm like, "That's Kristen Delane. She's from Detroit, or she's, you know, a local artist." Because I didn't know if you were from Detroit or not. And they're like, "I like this. What's the name?" And, you know, I would pull it up on my phone and show them, or they would pull it up before they got out the car. And they're like, "I'm going to check this out. I like this," you know.
Oh, that's what's up. So, I appreciate that.
Oh, no problem. You guys are, you know, it's so many of you. And you out here doing a thing, and it should be noticed. It should be known, you know.
Yes, yeah, definitely appreciate it. It's harder. Sometimes it's hard to get support at home. So for people like you who actually do support us, you know, it does not go unseen, and then it helps, even if it's one follower here, one follower there, it definitely helps.
That's what's up.
I ain't gonna give up, cause that's what they want. I told them I get it. Hoping I don't. Been minding my business and putting in work. I'm gonna get there. They thought I was last, but I ended up first. Got my feet on the gas. I'ma push through the hurt. Push through the hurt. It's gonna be worth it. This is what I wake up for. If you ain't grinding, what you wake up for? I don't wanna dream no more.
So I do ask all of my guests a question.
Okay.
And with the local music community, what's one thing that you would like to see change?
It's hard to just say one thing because not to say that it's terrible, but I just think there's so much talent in Detroit and in Metro Detroit. Like, I feel like if more of us came together and worked together to reach our dreams, if we had more collaborative writing teams, if we had more collaborative production teams, if everybody wasn't so siloed with, you know, they bro and they sister people that they're more familiar with working with, if we all branched out a little bit more, that more of us could actually make it to the level that we want to be at. I'm sure, and there are some artists that are absolutely fine with continuing their career at the local spot down the street, you know, making a couple dollars. But I know for me, that's not, I want more than that. And I think for that, if we all worked together, we could get there together. Like, it's not a competition, because I can't be, you know, I can't be Gwen Nation. I can't be Ellie. I can only be Christian Delane, and that's God.
Gwen Nation.
Yeah. I love Gwen. But, you know, I can't be her, and she can't be me. And if we put our stuff together, you know, if we worked together as a team instead of, you know, the competition and all that stuff, like, I think we would make it so much further. And it's hard. Yeah. Like, you know, when you go other places, people hear you from Detroit, there's an expectation. But it's like from here, it almost seems like people are not necessarily looking for you or filling you until you've already made a name for yourself. But you want to make a name at home. And I think if we all helped each other, it would make at least that beginning process a little bit smoother, a little bit more easier.
Right. I feel that. That is so true. Yeah, a lot of people say collaborations. And it's so funny. You never know. You could, you know, collaborate with somebody and have such an amazing time and an amazing thing that you produce, you know. There's a few artists around the city that just, you know, I claim I got a musical ear. But just with some artists around the city, I'm like, yo, you know, you should like, you should talk to so-and-so and see if you guys can work together. You know, and sometimes it happens. It's two artists right now that are working on something. And I kept telling one of them, like, yo, I'm telling you, y'all would be great. So-and-so, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. Sometimes, you know, sometimes people don't pay attention and they're not thinking about it and they don't realize, you know. But that collaboration thing is great because, you know, it puts us more on the map. The city, and the city could be amazing. I mean, think about Motown back in the day. You know, it could be the same way right now.
Yeah, I think we can get back there, and we can do it even better. And to top it, like, you always want to do or be better than a generation before you. And
right.
I'm just hoping that I can be a part of that process.
That's what's up. How has this pandemic been treating you?
You know, there have been good days and bad days with the pandemic. So I stay with my mom. I think the hardest part for me has been kind of just being at home when it's just us. You know, I love my mom, but it's just us. Like, it's been just us for like 2 months. And I have nieces, I have a niece and two nephews, and it's like, okay, I want to go see them. Like, I love them because I don't have my own kids. Like, you know, they're mine. So I think that's been the hardest part, is not being able to connect with friends and family the same way that we've been used to connecting. So it's definitely, I wouldn't call myself a phone person. So I've definitely had to become more of a phone person. Just to stay connected with people, because being at home isolated is not good for anybody.
No,
so, but I've been trying to stay positive. I've been working from home, which has in itself been stressful because, you know, colleges and universities are trying to keep kids enrolled, and if students don't enroll, that means people don't lose jobs. So we've been working extra hard just to kind of keep things moving, and so that, you know, our freshmen, our incoming freshman class, who pretty much had their senior year rocked, you know, that they have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
So it's been a process. I've actually just started back being able to write. I had writer's block for a minute. But these last 2 weeks, I think I've broken out of it a little bit and actually starting to create and stuff. So definitely trying to turn a lemon into some lemonade.
That's what's up. That is good. As far as, I know you know all the stuff that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
What's how is that affecting you? I mean, I know it's been going on for years,
mm-hmm.
and every time you turn around, there's an incident that happens like that. Mm-hmm. And because I was just talking about it the other day, as far as like back in '92. Malice Green was he was beaten by police, and then he ended up dying. And so it's been going on for a very long time, even before then.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how does that affect you, and what are some things that you think would be needed to change things?
So the last, I feel like every time something happens, it just hurts even more,
because
mm-hmm. you don't understand it. It's like, because I don't have that type of hate in my heart for people, it's mm-hmm. hard to understand how someone else can just not like you because of the color of your skin.
Right.
It doesn't make sense to me. And this last one, I haven't watched the news because I was tired of hearing about COVID-19. I stopped watching the news 2 weeks ago. And it happened to pop up in my, you know, I still get a news notification, and it popped up in my news the other day. And I'm like, I'm not watching this video. I can't watch another one of my brothers get killed on the street.
Right.
And there's a sense, part of it is like, okay, this keeps happening. What do we do? What do we do as a community, or what do I do? What can I do individually to impact change? You know, it's cool to make a tweet. It's cool to post. But, like, what can we actively do to bring about change? And I can't say that I have the answer, but that's kind of been my prayer. It's like, God, where do I fit in? How can I help change the situation? How can, you know, because I don't want to just pray about it. I think that's one of the things with the church is like, we'll just pray about it. And then even if God tells us to do something, we're still praying about it. But now he's told us to take action, and we're still sitting on our knees praying.
Right.
So I just hope that just another incident doesn't happen again, and that we actually learn and do something different this time. And I think it starts with love. But how do you teach somebody love? Maybe that's where we go out of our way to show love to people who hate us and show them that we're not what they think, or show them. And a lot of these people who feel this way about us have never even had a bad interaction with us. They were taught it. It's from generation to generation to generation. And even a lot of things that, you know, us as Black people think about white people, we don't know that those things are true. They were taught to us. So I think on both sides, it takes a lot of, like, self-reflection. Why do I feel this way about this person?
Right.
And then, you know, conversation. Like, I was listening to, I was just flipping through Instagram. People were on live. And this guy was taking flack because he said it was up to the Black community to teach other people. And there were Black people saying, like, I'm tired of talking. I'm tired of teaching. But it's kind of like, you want other white people to teach white people about us? It doesn't really work that way.
Right.
Somebody has to, we have to start the conversation. We have to show them that what they think about us isn't true. Or they can just continue with the same thought processes, and that can be how it is, and I like to preach at people, but ultimately I think it's the love of God that changes all of us. And but, you know, if anybody who's listening, if you're a believer, like, it starts with us.
That's true. Yeah, it's really crazy. I was thinking about this episode on the Jefferson, which is old, but it was an episode where the KKK was trying to, they had a meeting in the building that George lived in.
Mm-hmm.
And he went to the meeting not knowing that it was a KKK meeting. Him and Willis went to the meeting. They didn't know it was a KKK meeting. So when they get down there, you know, that's what the guy starts talking about. We need to, George hadn't arrived yet. And, you know, Willis was white. So they're talking about, you know, we need to get these thugs and whatever they was calling them out of here. And then George walks in and they're like, that's what we're trying to get rid of, you know. And that's when he found out they were racist. And the man, I don't know if he had a heart attack, something happened, and George saved his life.
Hmm.
And he's going out on the gurney, and he still is full of hate and told George, you should have let me die. And I just, you know, that was a long time ago, but it's still people right now that feel like that, and they were taught that.
Yeah.
And you know, in the episode, he had a son. The son was very grateful that George saved his father's life, but he still has this hateful, racist father. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like you said, it's passed down from generation to generation to generation. And it's like, how do you stop it?
But after 400 years, something has to change.
Right. It has to.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
You know, all this destruction and everything that's going on, you know, that's a whole different story.
I mean, I get it. I don't want anybody to, don't come to Detroit burning stuff down. Like, it's already,
exactly.
We still haven't fully recovered from the last riot. So, but I guess the thing that's kind of strange is that sometimes when we're upset, we tear down our own stuff instead of tearing down the people's stuff we're mad at. Not that I want anybody to tear down anything, but, like, I just think it's interesting where we focus our anger sometimes.
Yeah, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
I just hope everybody, you know, stays safe. Especially, I mean, we're still dealing with COVID-19 and people congregating together. I believe in people's right to protest. You know, if things were a little bit different, I'd be out there too. But it's still
a virus out there.
Still a virus out there. And, you know, we're the ones that are impacted by it the most.
Exactly.
Like, and I think this is just this whole systemic racist issue that has been going on for years. Like, something has to change. And as much as we want to do it by ourselves, we need our white allies in the fight with us.
That's true. That's very true.
Seem like I've been down this road once before. Don't wanna see myself back at that door. You're not deserving, I know. I want more. And I can't go in circles no more. You're like all the others. Had a plan in our hands, one demand to keep it real with each other. If the path from your past make us crash, then it ain't taking me under. Realizing I ain't the only one under the covers. And now I gotta get away. I thought it was just temporary, but you had all these different merits. Now what we had in the one of me, you won't find another. Don't get mad, it's your bad that you passed, cause I've been hot as the summer. Could've drove down this road, but you chose to go and ride down another. Whatever you were looking for, I hope you discover, cause I had to get away. Oh, thought it was just temporary, but you had all these different memories. Now with three heads in the cemetery, and the whole thing's just dead and buried. Oh, 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 oh. Gave you an inch and you took a mile. Still be lying if I didn't find out you don't really want me here. I think you made that pretty clear.
So do you have any upcoming projects that you're working on? I know you said you just started back to writing, but have you had anything in the works before this pandemic took us away from being able to meet up with people and whatnot?
Yeah, before the pandemic, I had planned to spend most of the summer doing stuff down in Atlanta. Just, you know, doing different shows. I had already spent, you know, I've done a few things down there this year. So we were kind of geared up to do that and get on some of the festivals here for the summertime. So we kind of had to reframe it. I'll be trying to do some, you know, do a couple of live things on, you know, Instagram or Facebook Live, put some stuff up on YouTube. But as far as projects, I didn't think I was about to start a solo project, but now that I've started that writing, I think something is going to come from it. And sooner than I anticipated. So I won't say when, but the juices are definitely moving again, and something to be out. I'm also working and planning to work with a few different artists. My cousin, his name is Strick. He's a rapper. He's a part of ASDR. Super dope rapper. He reminds you of like dudes from the 80s and the 90s, like. Real cool flow, good vibe. Definitely check him out. Him and I, we're actually started writing to collaborate on a project together. So that'll be coming out this year. I have a friend of mine, Steve Chisholm. He's a councilman for Inkster, that is also a rapper. So we're planning on doing some stuff together. I've been trying to connect with Dom Shelton. He just dropped a project. Him and I are working on stuff together. So my plan for the remainder of the summer is to just collaborate with as many people as I can and write as much as I can and just see what happens from it. And hopefully we'll be back to doing, I don't know if it'll be back to the, you know, what we were used to, but live stage of some sort by the time fall hits so we can, you know, that live performances are life. Like,
they're amazing.
Like, it's cool to listen to a CD, but when I see you perform live, like, I love that performance.
Puts you in a different mode.
Yeah, and then when I can do it myself, just being on stage, I just love the feeling. So hopefully we get back to that soon, but definitely going to capitalize on, try to make the best of the situation and just stay pleasant as much as I can on social media, even though it's not really my thing. I forget to post, but I'm going to try to do better.
That's what I was going to ask you. I know that, you know, I see stuff here and there, but not a whole bunch. And is it just something that you're not used to? Or, 'cause some people don't really care for social media.
It's not my favorite, to be honest.
Okay.
It's not my favorite. I like it to. So I'm a part of the generation of where, like, Facebook came out my first year in college.
Okay.
And it was kind of like the thing you just used to stay connected with, you know, friends that went to different schools, and you found people that you haven't seen since elementary. Like, that's the type of social media I like, this whole opinionated, nasty, mean, comparison, all that stuff, the negative parts of it. It just kind of makes me shy away from it. So when I do post, I try to make sure that it's something positive or something that can motivate somebody. Like, when I'm posting myself working out and stuff, it's just, you know, if I can do it, like, I'm struggling with weight and trying to be healthy just like you are, so let's do it together. So,
right.
But, yeah, I'm with my team, they get on me about it, so I'm trying to post a little bit more. And I try to do it myself, but it's more authentic when it comes from me instead of having somebody create posts for me. So I have some stuff that I've already gotten together, some old video footage that I'm going to put out this week. So.
Oh, that's good.
Something to look forward to.
Yeah, it's, you know, and I saw you, I think you went live on, was it Instagram?
I've only gone live once.
Or maybe you posted something, but it was, I think you were on, I think there was a gentleman playing a guitar.
Oh, yeah, probably with either Zing or... it's probably because I did Soon and we did Takeover.
Right.
I did those acoustic.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah, stuff like that is dope.
Yeah, and I love doing acoustic stuff. It's just hard to connect with people right now because nobody wants to get sick. So.
Yeah.
But I think in a couple more weeks, be able to get into some studio spaces, make sure they sanitize and clean and all that stuff, and just get some more videos and stuff out.
Yeah, slowly but surely, some people are creeping back in to, you know, trying to get back to some type of normalcy. I know it's not going to be the norm that we're used to from before, but like Elise King, she did a birthday live at the Jazz Cafe, and you know, everybody was saying, I think it may still be on her Facebook page, but, you know, everybody was apart or whatever, and I'm pretty sure they took precautions and whatnot. But it was amazing. It was a great show. And I think it was needed, you know, because we're, even though people have been going live from home and, you know, doing this and that, and, you know, maybe they just have music tracks or they might have somebody there playing a guitar sitting 6 feet away or something. It was the whole vibe of it was great because it was the whole, you know, Pure Nastiness band, and they were, like, doing it. So.
Oh, shit. Dang, I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah, it might still be on there. I'm not sure. I think she did save it, though. But, yeah, it was dope. So I know what you're saying, when you know, about the live performances and whatnot. Are you on Facebook?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on there. I have an artist page and then a personal page.
Okay.
I'm going to go find it.
Yeah.
Get some music in my life today.
Yeah, that was, it's still there. It's still there. So if you go to Elise King's page and you go down to May the 22nd, it's titled Elise King Birthday Concert. So it's still there, and it's a little over an hour over the recording.
I'm definitely going to check it out.
Yeah.
Experience the vibe. Every Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube Live. Let's have lunch, chat, and just have a good old time. See you there.
Subscribe to Experience on YouTube. That's XP3ERYNCE. And make sure you click the notification bell so that you'll know every time there's new content added.
How can people get in touch with you to book you, to listen to your music and all that good stuff?
But to listen to my music, people can pretty much find me anywhere, Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, iTunes, Tidal. My music is everywhere. So please definitely go and check it out. If you want to connect with me, I'm most active on Instagram. It's just at Christian Delaine, KristianDelayne. I'm also on Facebook. If you send me a friend request, I probably won't see it, but you can send me a message. I do check my messages, even if they're from people I don't know. So definitely shoot me a message if you want to chat, if you want to book. You can send me an email at kdelaynemusic@gmail.com. And then also have a website, www.christiandelaine.com. You can connect with me that way as well.
Awesome. And I just tagged you. I tagged your music page on that video. So that way you don't have to, it's probably be easier to find that way. Well, yeah, it has been great talking to you. I look forward to whatever you're going to be doing. And, you know, I appreciate you being on Vibing in the D with Lily.
And I appreciate you for having me. I love platforms like this that support local independent artists. Like, we definitely need the love, we need the support. And I thank you for having me. And hopefully when I put some new music out, we can connect again.
Definitely, definitely. I'll be, and I'll, you know, once this shutdown and punishment we're on.
Punishment.
The world is on punishment. And, you know, I'll definitely be looking forward to seeing you do some live performances because, like you, I love live performances.
Absolutely, yeah. I'll make sure I keep you posted on all the good stuff I have going on.
All right. Well, I do appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.